Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Bible study as we move forward in God's Word. This is the Proverbs and New Testament Sunday. We had a great time on We had some time with Joseph and his family and seeing what God can do in adversity. And then on yesterday, I went to a women's conference, and Pastor Heron of the AME Church came back in the book of Genesis chapter 35, and she talked about being in a pit and how we can love it. She preached a word on yesterday. And all I can say is thank you, Holy City Women's Ministry, for a great time. You know, when you just need something, God will put it in place for you. And I just needed that word on yesterday. So I can only say thanking God again and thanking you for joining me. I believe mostly everyone is on Blog Talk this morning. I am not sure how many we have on our conference call line. I believe this is it for this morning. So we are strictly Blog Talk today. Thanking God for all of you. And let's get started this morning. Father God in heaven, I come to you with a heart filled with gladness, a heart grateful to be awakened by your Holy Spirit on this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, for all the things that are just you, God. I can only say thank you because, Lord God, you didn't have to wake me up today. You didn't have to give me another chance. You didn't have to give me another day. And all I can say is thank you Thank you, Lord. And I ask you, Father God, to please watch over your children today, as it is very cold in many places, God, which feel like under zero, God. But I know that because you are in it, God, it's going to be all right. And we will be warm and ready to go because you, God, have our back. You, God, have our front. You, God, have us in our coming in. You, God, have us in our going out. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for just being my Father, my friend, my one and only. Thank you, Lord. And Father God, as we lift up this day, I lift our pastors today, pastors that have to preach the word, God. I ask you, Father God, to give each and every one a rhema word, a word that will change someone's life, someone's spirit, that someone may come in down, God. But when they leave, they will leave changed, set free and filled with your Holy Spirit. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for just being my Father, my friend, the love of my life. Father God, I lift up this Bible study this morning. I lift up this holy word, your holy word, Lord, asking that it touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, that they would love to go further in your word, because your word does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And Father God, I just say, whew, lead and guide me, Lord. Clean me up, God. Remove anything from me that is not like you, God. I ask you, Father God, to forgive me for sins, seen and unseen, seen sins known and unknown. I ask forgiveness, God. I ask with a repentant heart, before I go forward in your word, my heart be clean. Let my mind be clean. Let my body and spirit be clean by your spirit, God. Let me take you with me, Lord God. Hide me in the recesses of your rings, Lord God. And I ask you, Father, please increase as your daughter decreases. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. You are my redeemer. And the word, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, God. I am redeemed by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thanking God for allowing me to come before you this morning. Whew, giving honor to him, to all those that are listening. I thank you. And I ask God to cover you in your coming in and in your going out. I ask God to guide you and to help you and to keep you warm and strong. But he is our Heavenly Father, and he loves us. And I can do nothing more than say thank you. So let's get ready to get in our word this morning. We are in our Psalms for today, and the Psalms are for the weekend. So the Psalms that I will be reading are the Psalms from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that if you have the Charles Stanley Life Principle Bible, you can follow us along. We are starting at page 77, and we will be reading starting in the ninth Psalm, and we will be going to the 10th Psalm, verse 18. Our proverb will be Proverbs chapter from chapter 3, verses 31 through Proverbs chapter 4, verse 9. And we will be in Matthew chapter 13 through Matthew chapter 14, verse 36. So let's get started in our word this morning. Again, thanking God for his grace and thanking you for joining me this morning for Bible study. As I get in the right spot here on my computer. We are ready to go. Thank you so very, very much. Making sure you can hear me clearly. There we go. Good morning again. And we are in the ninth psalm. And our word for this morning, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Do not let men prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight, O Lord, that the nation may know themselves to be but men. The Lord is talking to all of us. So many times folks want to put themselves above God, will act like they are Christ personified. That is a spirit of Antichrist. And we got to pray against it. We got to pray against it. No nation, no man, no woman, nothing is higher than our Father God. And the word says, why do you stand afar off, O Lord, in Psalms 10 and 1? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his pride countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. That's all he's worried about. How much money can I make? How much money can I get? How much money can I gain? That's not of God. God will prosper you, yes, in his time. But that's not what you got to seek. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He will give you everything that you need. But if you seek in prosperity by using God's name in vain, God will pull the covers off eventually. You know, you see folks, billionaires, prospering on God, almost prostituting God, and that is not of God, and we got to watch that. And it tells us in the word, his ways are always prosperous, your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. Come on now, that sounds awful familiar. And it says, I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies and waits secretly as a lion in his den. He lies and waits to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. God sees everything. God knows everything. And when we come to that understanding, God sees it all. Don't think you can get anything over on God. Psalms chapter 10, verse 12. Arise, O Lord. Oh, God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account, but you have seen, but you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out the wickedness until you find none. The Lord is ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Come on now. And you have those that will try to take a good person and put him in that category, but you can only take the wicked and put him in that category. There are those that want power so badly that they will do anything and everything for it. They will lie. They will cheat. They will cause confusion. They will cause chaos. That is the enemy. God does not cause chaos. God is not a God of divisiveness, and God is not a God that will lie and lie and lie, because God is not a man that he should lie. So we need to understand and watch as well as pray. We got to pray and pray and pray some more for God to give us clarity, for God to show us what he wants us to do, for God to show us where he wants us to go, for God is in charge of everything. God loves us like that. God loves us like that. I love God, and I know that he loves me, but I will not play with God. I will not be deceitful and dishonest. Where God is concerned, I will speak truth. Don't let anybody talk you into lying, because God will see it for what it is. You can't fake it to make it when it comes to the word of God, because his word will show you for a lie. It says we are not to add to it or take from it. We got to tell it like it is. What does thus say the Lord? You know, I had a discussion with someone about the Lord's Prayer. And the thing is that as I'm teaching the Lord's Prayer to the children's ministry, I'm teaching it the way it is written in the Word of God. And we all just read it here on this show and on this Bible study. And we know that it's in Matthew chapter 6. And we know that it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And yes, I was one of those folks that learned it the other way when I was a little kid, because that was the way it was taught in our churches. But, you know, the word of God does not tell us. It's not written. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's not what it says. And I'm sure that there are Bibles that may have that in. You know, I have in my possession, I have a Bible that's quite big. But it is so wonderful because it gives me four different versions of the Bible. And when I go to that, you know, it is just something that we have to be memory of and know that God has given us his word for a reason. And as I go to four different Bibles, and when I go to King James, and it says, you know, it asks us in the word, give us this day our daily bread, and it goes in and tells us, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. New King James. And if you're wanting the verse for that, it's verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The NLT. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then when we go to the New Living Translation, it gives us, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us, which is actually the debt of sin. That's what debt is about. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. And now when you go to NLT, it takes out, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. Whereas when we go to the NIV, it says, for if you forgive those people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But then when you go to New King James, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. And again, in King James, it's the same. But if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. So we understand that when we learned it to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. But we understand that trespasses and sin, that trespasses, we're asking folks, asking God to forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we ask him to forgive those who sin against us. Just like when we say forgive us our debt, we're also asking the same thing. Forgive us the debt of sin. So it's all about sin. Forgive us our sins. And, you know, but I still want them to learn it the way it is written in King James, New King James, and in NIV. You know, I know New Living and New Standard and all these extra new this and that. That's wonderful. But I want to keep as close to King James as possible because that is the Bible that is the standard for most of us that we read. So we need to remember, you know, little things can change somebody's understanding of the word. And that's why we try to stick to the word of God as it is written. Not adding to it, not taking away from it, not going by what he said, she said, but what did the word of God say? And that's why I use that. And that's why I'm teaching that, because you would get all off kilter because the denominational words come into play. You know, we have heard all kind of stuff that folks think is in the Bible that is not. It's just a wise tale and a wise saying from somebody that has passed through time. You know, you're like, okay, have I seen that in the Bible? You know, I don't remember seeing that. But, you know, I don't remember reading that, but we get all caught up in what is out there in the world. You know, and a really good one is the early bird catches the worm. That is not in the Bible. It's not there. So if you go to look, the early bird does not catch the worm in the Word of God. God provides for the birds of the air, but the early bird is not the one catching the worm in the Bible. So just little things that we got to remember. You know, don't let folks, if somebody says, and the word of God says such and such, go and look it up. Find it. Say, let me see if that's actually in the Bible. Because, you know, folks quote things that they think are in the Bible because some pastor preached that word. And I'm going to find it, and it's not there. It's a preached word, not a biblical word. And so some of those things that we need to remember, that's why we do what? Bible study. So join me in Matthew chapter 13. All life lessons will be done at the end of the scripture. And it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. So that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who had ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. But whoever has, to him more will be given. And he who will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, which is weeds, among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Well, amazing that if anybody has seen a mustard seed, it is so tiny. It's so small. And to know that tiny little seed can grow into a mighty tree is amazing. And that's what I tell our children, that even the least among us can become the greatest in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a child. You know, that God wants us to have that childlike spirit, wanting to receive, wanting to be nurtured, wanting to grow. Hallelujah. Thanking God. And the word that he gave me is, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's the title for this morning. So I say, as we go through this word, let your ears hear. Let your ears hear. And it tells us again as we go forth, it says another parable. He spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Come on now. I got to read that again. He answered and said to them, the question was, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked ones. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's our title. And that's a word from Jesus. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure things, new and old. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from them. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. So that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty words? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Hosea, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief, because they could not see who he was today. All they could think about was, isn't that the carpenter's kid? How many ministers and pastors and preachers and teachers go home and folks want to look like, well, you know, he or she used to do such and such. Girl, I went to school with them, and they was a wild child. They was doing all kind of stuff. Isn't that Miss Liggins' girl? Girl, I don't know if that's Miss Liggins' girl. I think that's Henry's daughter. You know, and then folks want to talk about you. You know, well, all I know is he was that weird little kid, a carpenter's kid. You know, he was the one that folks said used to be always somewhere praying. I don't know who he is, but now he's claiming to be the son of God. I don't know. Well, you know, you heard, right, that Mary was, you know, she was pregnant before they got married. So I don't know. All of, you know, but he acting all, you know, but he, yeah. We all know. No, you don't. But that's how it is. Folks want to denigrate people that how they used to be. But we are never the same. As you learn and you know and you grow in Jesus, when you give your life and your soul to the Lord and you say, here I am, Lord. Take my life, take my soul, take my mind, conform me, God. Transform me from the world. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be set apart because I'm yours. We are different. We're not who we used to be. We're not, you know, lying and cheating and cussing. You know, you're not doing the things that you used to do. Maybe you did drugs. Maybe you were an alcoholic. Maybe you were a looker at pornography. Maybe you were a talker. Maybe you were this, that, or the other. But you are not the same. Don't let anybody make you feel less than what you are. You are a child of God. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are different. You are not the carpenter's kid. You are the son of God. And that is who Jesus was. That's why he said, you know what? Remember when his mother and his brothers came, he told the folks that was with him that they were his mother and they were his brothers. Because they understood, those that walked with him, those that were with him, he made this his family. They were his family. But one thing about this scripture that it tells us that, you know, there are those that have a big lie. That Mary was a virgin, that Mary was a virgin until the day she died. That she and Joseph had no relations. They just lived like roommates. They had no more kids. Jesus came through the womb and the womb closed back up and Mary was a virgin again, which we all know is a lie. It says in the word of God that Joseph did not have relations with his wife until after the birth of Jesus. And then it says how many sons? Four sons and daughters. It says it in the word of God. And that's why we read the word of God ourselves, that we cannot be told doctrine that is not the truth. They were not, it does not say anywhere in the word of God that Joseph had X number of wives and they had X number of children. And that, because, again, the begots are there. We all know, we read, where Esau had X number of wives, and those X number of wives had these 12 sons. We know that Israel had Rebekah, he had Leah, and he had Bella, and he had, and I'm not saying the name right, I know, but he had the four women. From these four women, it's written in the Word. So it's nowhere written where Joseph had five or six wives and all these kids came from them. It says, aren't those the carpenter's kids? And that Mary's son. And isn't that his brother? Meaning those are Mary's children. So don't let folks talk you into doctrine that's not in the Word. That's why the Word tells us to meditate on it day and night so that we know the Word ourselves. So that we know when we're being told the okey-doke, when we know that that is not sound biblical doctrine. It is not in there. That's why we do what we do. We read it ourselves. And as we go to Matthew chapter 14, and it says, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard and reported about Jesus and said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Because we know what Herod did, right? He took John's head. And so now he's a little scared, but let's go on and read it. It says he is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John, bound him, and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. In other words, they were adulterers. Because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet, which he was. And it says that when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. She must have been doing something to get this man all hot about it, that he wanted to give her half of his kingdom. And we already know he don't have the right spirit within him, messing around with his brother's wife. So he haven't been prompted by, so she, the daughter, has been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head. You're on the platter. Now you already know a young girl's not going to ask for somebody's head on the platter, that there's got to be some shenanigans going on. And the shenanigans was her nasty mama, who was an adulteress. Woman, calling it like it is, who probably told her daughter, dance provocatively before the king, and he'll give us whatever we want. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oath and because of those who sat with him. He commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to the desert place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and buy themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 500 men, besides women and children, which means that these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed more than 5,000, because they didn't include the women and children. Besides 5,000 men, besides women and children. And when we use the word besides, it means in addition to. 5,000 men were fed, not including women and children. Don't tell me what our Savior cannot do. He can do everything, and he has. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. God can do anything. The Lord can do anything. Our Savior can do anything. We got to trust God. Let them ears that we have hear. We got to hear what that says the Lord. And as we go back into life, let's own. Psalm chapter 10, verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? And that's what we feel sometimes. When we're going through, we're like, Lord, where are you? I can't do this by myself. Where are you, Lord? But he's with us. And it says, during the hard times in the desert, the Israelites thought God had abandoned them, but Moses told them, in the wilderness the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 1, 31. God never lets go of his children. He always has us. He always is taking care of us. He is always there. All we have to do is believe that he's there, that he's got us covered from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Psalm chapter 10, verse 14, the helpless commit himself to you. No Christian is ever truly without a helper. If anyone else abandons you, God is pledged to remain with you and give you the help you need. That is why he desires the name faithful and true. Revelation 3 and 14. God is faithful and true. And the one thing I can say without any doubt in my mind, he loves us. He loves us in a mess, a messy mess. He loves us. He loves us in our good. He loves us in our bad. He loves us in our ugly. As I was speaking to one of the ladies that spoke at the conference yesterday, you know, she and I both have those husbands that said, keep moving. You know, she drove in from, I believe, the Quad Cities where it had snowed pretty bad. And, you know, she was the wind, you know, the wind, we've been dealing with a lot of wind and blowing snow. But she said that she felt she had to just keep going because she was praying, Lord, do I turn back and go home? But God kept her to persevere and keep moving. And the farther she got, the better it got. And she understands she was getting ready to leave when I was leaving yesterday, so we prayed together. And we both started laughing because I had a husband the same way. You know, he was a state policeman. He was a state trooper. He was a sergeant. And he was also a military officer. And what he told me was when we would go places and it would be like one day, we were in a very bad storm. I mean, it was storming. The rain was coming down. You could barely see in front of you. It was one of those times where you turned on your caution lights so whoever was behind you could see you. And I'm like, I think we need to pull over when we get to the next underpass. And he said to me, he said, no, you're going to keep moving. He said, because eventually we'll drive out of it. And sure enough, we drove out of it. There's the rainbow. Drove right out of it. Sister Carolyn and Aunt Janet, Mother Bowie, we were going to an event, women's conference in St. Louis. And again, it was pouring down rain, just as black as night. And I thought about that, and it's like, do we need to pull over? I'm like, no, we're going to keep going. And sure enough, as we get just as close to St. Louis, the sun comes out. And all we could do was thank God. Because believe me, during that storm, we was praying. But I kept driving because I knew, like my husband said, if you keep moving forward, eventually you'll get out of the storm. And so I say this morning, let us hear what Jesus said. Let us keep moving forward. Let us not stop in the midst of the mess. We got to keep moving. We got to keep going. We got to keep picking up a little bit here, a little bit there. And eventually you'll have a clean heart and a right spirit within you. Ask God to remove the storm. As you go through your valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. Why? Because God's going to be with you. He's going to have that rod and that staff to comfort you. He's going to be there. Don't get scared. Don't think he's not going to help you because he will. I didn't believe that all the time. I'm being honest. Until God showed me a miraculous thing that happened in my own life, and all I could do was cry because God had to show me, you know, you teach this, you preach this, now you're going to experience it, and I did. And all I can say is, God, thank you. I can't count how many times the Lord has saved my life more than I can count. Saved my life, hit by a car, 7 years old, still a kid, accident, almost went over an overpass, still here. But there was a gate fighting, and how fighting a fly. Fly got between my glasses and my eye, and I freaked out trying to fight this fly and hit a guardrail. And if I had not, that guardrail not been there, I would have been going down into a little creek. God is good. God is good. That's why I don't like flies to this day. And as we continue in our word life lesson, because I don't want to digress. And it says this in the life lesson in Matthew chapter 13, verse 2, whoever has him more will be given. And whoever has to him more will be given. And he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This combination of promise and warning typifies a great deal of God's instruction in his word. He motivates us to experience life through both offers of blessing and declarations of caution. Matthew 13 and 23, he who has received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit. God wants us to hear, understand, and put into practice his counsel and instruction. He doesn't see us as a vault into which he hides his words, but rather as gardens in which his word can sprout and grow. So what do? We take the word of God with us. We take it with us, and we spread it. We give it out. We don't hold it in our chest. And don't share it. We share the word of God. Matthew 13 and 38. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. We may not like it, but God allows the righteous and the wicked to live alongside one another. The situation will change one day. But for now, we must remember that not all have faith. Did you catch that? Not all have faith. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 2, if you want to look that up. Matthew 13 and 58, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief acts like a wet blanket on a smothering fire, discouraging anything from really getting started. It does not prevent God from acting as though we had the power to stop him, but it does dampen the possibility. Just think how children feel. Your child comes home and they got a good report card. And they come and say, Mom, Dad, look at my report card. I got three A's, two B's, and I got one C. But you don't talk about the three A's and the two B's. All you harp on is the one C. Well, why did you get a C? You shouldn't have got a C. You should have got more than a C. You should have got all A's. Why'd you get B's? Why'd you get C's? Why'd you get that C? Maybe because you did not help me with my homework. When I told you that I was having a hard time with math, I was having a hard time with chemistry, but you instead say, go do those dishes, go scrub that floor, go take care of your sister, go take care of your brother, go take care of your in-laws, go take care of everybody. You know what I mean, in-laws, because children don't have in-laws. But, you know, understand, go clean the bathroom. But, Daddy, I got to do my homework. Mommy, I got to do my homework. You can do your homework in a few minutes, but I need you to do this, that, and the other. But I got a chemistry test tomorrow, and I need to have a good grade on it so I get a good grade in my classroom. You should be getting good grades anyway. Now, understand, this child has worked hard to get those three A's, has worked hard to get those two B's. But because they told you, I got to study. But you had them doing everything and anything else that they didn't get to study, and that's why they got that C. But instead of congratulating them and giving them hugs for the good things that they did, you harp on the bad. And that's what Jesus is telling us, that we got to lift up, not tear down, because the tearing is going to come. The tearing is coming when the Lord comes in harvest. And the harvest is coming. But the question is, we are in harvest right now, but the laborers are few. how many are spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. We've got work to do. And then when we get into the word in chapter 14, verse 14, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Jesus could have had attitude because of how he was treated in his home, but he didn't. He had love. He had compassion. He didn't let what the he says, she says get him down and change the course of what he had to do. Not only did he heal the sick, but he fed the body. He fed the mind. He fed the soul, and he fed the body. It says compassion is God's natural response to human suffering. Jesus has gone to a remote place to get alone. Follow them. He ministered them and refused to send them away. He refused to send them away. That's how we have a mighty God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear the word of God. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And Sister Carolyn's word is on point. It's a psalm today. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalms 102. Have a blessed Sunday. And our prayer from our prayer book, our 365 days of prayer for this 21st day of January. As always, it's right on point. Weary. And it says, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and 31 in RSV. Almighty God, you have all the strength I need. You see me and how tired I am. You see how weary I am in showing up in the same capacity to the same old over and over again. I am worn out and don't feel like I have anything to give. But you renew those who wait on you. So here and now I'm waiting. I quiet the chaos of my mind in your presence. Breathing deeply. Bring your peace, Lord. My body needs renewal. I'm sore, and I don't have the strength to do what I could yesterday. In my weakness, I come to you. I can't pretend to have it all together right now because I certainly don't. I know that's not what you're looking for anyhow. God, your grace gives me the strength I need to keep going. I will trust in your unfailing love that fills my tank when it is running low. Renew me. I have no hope without you. And I can tell you, you can feel me getting a little teary-eyed because that is how I was feeling yesterday. And I tell you, when I went to this woman's conference, I needed a fill-up. And I tell you, when I left, and when we get up every morning, we need to remember his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Trust God today. And a thing for you to think about as you go to your churches today. When you are weary, where do you turn to for strength? Turn to the Lord. Find a church home. Get on the altar. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Because Jesus prayed, and so should we. Is there anyone that has a word this morning? I know we might be a little bit over, but if someone has a word, I don't want to hinder it. And if not, I say to you this morning, thank you so very much for joining me for Bible study. Mother Valerie and I will be back tomorrow. We will be on conference call as well as Blog Talk. You can tune in on Blog Talk or you can call our conference call number. But on Sundays, we will strictly be Blog Talk. So just Friday, actually, Friday and Sunday will be Blog Talk. But mostly Sunday will be Blog Talk. So thank you so much. Have a blessed day, family. Remember, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And if the word of God is not spoken, take your Bible and leave and find a place where God's word is spoken. Remember that there's no, you can't add to it, you can't take from it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear the word of God. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to church. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.